I'm told that I was originally first and have and this thing and then became last, and it has now become clear why. Okay, so Chip called me up and said, congratulations, you're a cluster. And I said, okay, who's in my cluster? And he said, oh, no, you're a cluster. And I said, I think that means I've, you know, joined the Army and become a recruiting poster, but I'm not really sure. Also, I'm glad to say that this thing is stretching the slides, so we'll see. They're going to look a little weird. This is the real title. TIDE is the name of our project. It stands for Trial Integration Environment Built on Deter. The folks I've listed are most of the many people that have contributed to Deter over the years. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. The folks in italics are the people who are particularly working on this Genie project. Ted is here. You can ask him good, hard technical questions, because if you ask me, I'll point you to Ted. So that's how that works. The Deter facility it was set up not as a network testbed. It was set up as a cybersecurity testbed. So we have a slightly different user community. We have a slightly different set of goals. Funded originally by the National Science Foundation and now by DHS, been around since 2004. It's based on the Emulab software. So a lot of what Rob said, and by extension some of what Larry said, because he spoke about this kind of joint work, applies to this as well. There are some places where we differ, but there's a lot of places where we're on the same page. I'm not going to talk about most of the things you already heard, but you could assume that some of them really do fit in here. It's about a 300-node testbed. It lives at two different places, which is kind of interesting to our work. Half of it's at USC, ISI in LA, and half of it's up here in Berkeley. Besides the basic Emulab, it has a lot of tools. You know, we're trying to provide an environment for these researchers. Beyond being a facility, it was a project. It actually had a research mission in the long term, which was to address these bullet points, things like trying to turn experimental cybersecurity research into a little bit more scientific basis, trying to advance test beds as a research tool, trying to build suites of reusable tools and traffic, you know, libraries and things like that. So you can see that this has a lot of commonality with many of the kind of larger goals of the Genie project. And in fact, you know, I think as we all understand, a lot of these test beds were precursors to Genie. So in our current researchy work in the Deter project, the basic hypothesis is sort of like this. We start from sort of where we are today in test beds. We add a bunch of interesting stuff, which I will go through very briefly and then only talk about one bullet. And you get some really powerful contributions to a number of next generation facilities that folks are talking about. The National Malware Collaboratory is something that we're trying to do with some industrial folks. DARPA is now talking about something called the National Cyber Range, which they, I think, announced publicly like yesterday. Genie. So a lot of what we're doing, things like risky experiment management, this is, okay, I wish to build a botnet and let it actually talk to the world. How could this be a good idea? High-level user and workflow. How could an experimenter, you know, run a 200,000-node experiment with statistically valid properties and not have to paint each node in a picture? Experiment health management is based on the idea that to be an experiment, it doesn't just have a topology and some traffic. It has experimental invariants, things that should be true, things that shouldn't be true. This is really interesting in cybersecurity because you're looking for failures, and things can fail for the right reason or the wrong reason. You can have an experiment that's either valid or completely invalid and have exactly the same results. And then the other thing that we're very interested in is this whole federation issue, which is what I'm actually going to talk about. As Chip said, kind of the core of our proposal to Genie was a federation-driven thing. So federation is about really the on-demand creation of experiments that span multiple independently controlled facilities. And I said experiments, not test beds. A lot of folks here are thinking about federating test beds. But I'm actually more interested in the case of federating experiments, which is just a subtly different thing. It means that my experiment goes out and says, oh, you, come here, come here, come here. It's not that two test beds have long, ponderous agreements with each other. So why would you do this, right? A lot of reasons. Scale is the one that people often bring to mind, but also things like you've got a cool thing and I don't, or we're a community and we want to share data and knowledge, and the easiest way to do that is to build joint experiments. Or more interestingly, I want to sort of model the internet where we have, you know, some stuff. We have partial information, right? Your federant knows some stuff and mine knows some stuff, and we want to conduct a realistic experiment with partial knowledge, not global knowledge. So you know, federation is not just about cooperation with international equivalents. It's something that is a very fundamental part of network experimentation. The next couple of bullets are about who does what, right? So the researcher controls experiment embedding, gets to, you know, sort of needs to say, okay, my experiment needs this set of capabilities. And in a real experiment, it's not going to be that computer, that computer. Larry has a great, I don't know if he still has it, but he has a great web page where it says show Planet Lab nodes, and you get a list of 5,000 nodes, right, which is, and then you're supposed to pick one out of the pick box. So I think we're going to have to, you know, the federants, the owners of the resources need to control things like who can use them and under what terms and how much. And this is related to a different idea, which is experiment composition, which is, so I've talked about having an experiment and federating it across a bunch of facilities. Another kind of way to create things like that is to have separate experiments that somehow organically come together, which is, of course, what the internet actually did, so it's probably interesting. But we aren't really talking about that so much. There are three key parts to this problem. First, you have to establish the experiment, which means you have to do the resource embedding. And you should think about this as, you know, like Emulab Assign, if you're familiar with that, on super steroids, right? Because instead of assigning across a relatively homogeneous set of nodes, of which there are 500, you're assigning across a completely heterogeneous set of nodes, of which there are 2 million. So you're going to have to guide the experimenter in making choices like this. And the experimenter is going to have to guide you in how to do it. Then you have to manage the resources. This is the issue of policy control and things like that. And then after you've built this, you have to provide an environment in which the experiment actually runs. So Emulab is great because it has that environment, right? You have things like a shared file system and an event system and control hooks and stuff like that, and which is another one of those things that you can do pretty well if you've got 500 nodes in a machine room. But it's a little bit harder if you've got a gazillion nodes in somewhere, my pocket, right? This is a genie node, you know, just for the hell of it. So then that gets you into the issue of the failure management model, which is in a large federated experiment, it is not the case that all your nodes are working by definition. So we have an architecture to address issues like this. I don't really want to walk through the whole thing, but I want to make a couple of points. Do we have a pointer? No. Is there?
Mm.
Okay. That might be it. Okay. So you have, you know, we start from the idea that test beds export properties, information about them in some way. You take the combination of those properties and the requirements of your experiment, and you feed them into a tool that does that first function, that it helps you understand how to partition your experiment across all of the different places. And because this is a hard problem and is heuristically driven, different kinds of experiments have different requirements, we postulate that there will be several such tools. And then you have a point where they all come together in a narrow waist, right, in a standard format for expressing an experiment. And then that feeds into this thing that we call the federator, which has the job of partitioning the experiment, managing the experiment on the different test beds, and creating this unified control environment that makes you feel like you're running a consistent experiment as opposed to lots of little pieces. So I will say, getting to the sort of a punchline side, some of this is operating today. We've built a little bit. I'll say a little bit more about that in the end. The thing that we have now for being that narrow waist is a thing called canonical experiment description language, and it looks very much like the NS2 language that Emulab uses to describe things, with a lot of extensions for attributes and things of that sort. This is evolving very quickly. This is work that we're doing now. I would expect it to continue to evolve, but there's an interesting point, which is that this is a very similar model to what folks have talked about for RSpecs. But there are some fairly significant differences that have to do with the level of representation of different concepts. And I actually agree strongly with Rob that RSpecs should be a low-level thing, and that we will likely find that we need some other things of this. This is not a great laser pointer. Some other things of this format that will fit within this role of describing experiments at different levels of abstraction. We have an access control architecture in this today. I put this slide up only because I'm going to contrast it later. This is not the right answer. This is just what's there today. It's based on the single Emulab model, which some of you may be familiar with, which is that you belong to a project, and the project can authorize resources. So we've extended that idea to a three-level structure where you have users and projects and test beds. And the way the DFA works is it creates little local projects on each test bed, and then they get authorization rights. But this is still very much based on some kind of traditional security concepts like if you have an identity, it means you can do stuff. It's not very transparent. It's hard to understand what is going on. So that's something we're planning to look at. So now we get to our Genie project, which actually has four parts in our original proposal. This picture is from our proposal, and I get to rag on the GPO in a minute on that topic. So the first part is that we want to extend our federation architecture and all of that stuff beyond just being targeted on Emulab type things to targeting a much more heterogeneous world of resources. And we intend to do that by extending the settle a little bit and by adding some plugins so that you can control different kinds of things. So we postulate that a lot of stuff is Genie components, but maybe not everything. So if, in fact, if I have a commercial service from AT&T on about switched virtual circuits, maybe I don't need to wrap that up as a Genie component. Maybe I just federate with AT&T and drive them in their own language instead of mine. The second part of our proposal is in a dashed line. This is the part of the budget that is no longer there. So one of the things that we were particularly interested in controlling is physical resources, network paths. And we are proposing to do that with software called Dragon, which was developed at ISI and a couple of other places. I think you'll hear a little bit more about Dragon later from Peter. Dragon is a multi-domain, multi-level path setup technology suite, and it is in wide use today to build switched virtual circuit or switched path networks, including in places like Internet 2 and some of the regionals. And so we still intend to create a Dragon federant so that we can control physical network resources. The third thing that we're quite interested in is this whole issue of authorization and access control and how it should really work in a federated environment. So I'm going to say a little bit more about that later. And the fourth thing is we have a high-ish level and getting higher all the time user experiment workflow tool called SEER, which we are intending to extend to contain some sort of expert advice on the topic of performing federation in tough problems. How much time do I have? Okay, so here's my philosophical diversion. We started back in 2006, right around here. There was going to be this great big thing called Genie. It was going to be something, this is NSF buzzword speak, MREFC. It means really big, lots of money. Had to get it right. We're only going to be one, right? So now we're kind of ooching up here, and we're in an interesting space now. We're in kind of flexi-Genie, right? It's not just one big project anymore. It's not an MREFC necessarily. So there's still only one of it, but it's fun, right? But there's a different way to think about this, right? Which is that what we're actually doing is establishing a set of common standards for test beds of all different kinds, right? There might be a great big managed one the chip gets to run. But then there might be, little peer-to-peer ones that people, just some bunch of grad students decide to make a test bed, right? Dave Anderson did this 10 years ago. I don't know if he's here, but, and they come together organically, right? And there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to make use of some Genie technology too when it's appropriate, right? So I want to draw the parallel with the analogy with the IP protocols, which are one protocol family that support many different network types: public internets, managed enterprise networks with rigorous performance requirements, home networks that are completely plug and play, right? But they have the commonality when it's appropriate. They differ in many dimensions, right? They differ in operational dimensions, they differ in the security requirements, they differ in performance requirements. So if you hear somebody today in this meeting or tomorrow or the next day say, well, the operational requirements for Genie are, hit them hard, okay? Because there's no one set of operational requirements and there's no one set of security requirements. There's commonality at different layers so that we can all build different experimental infrastructures over the next few years. Then maybe there's also the thing that BBN has signed up to run, which will have its own set of requirements. Okay, that was fun. Now I get to talk about this for a couple minutes. So this is the other half of what our Genie project is. We're very interested in this idea of authorization for dynamic federated testbed environments, what it might look like. We're doing this with Steve Schwab at Sparta. this is work actually that is being that is going on both inside of our project and outside in the DETER context. And so it's a little bit bigger than just this one award. I want to talk quickly about requirements, and then Craig can tell me if I get to talk about anything else. So it's, you know, we're talking about decentralized, collaborative, competitive environments, alliances come and go, and things like that. So you need semantics for things like that. You want explicit, visible decision making. You ought to be able to ask the question, why did you get to do this, and be able to get an answer, right? Not, oh, seemed like a good idea at the time, or, oh, he had my password. So there's a corollary, which is that this gives you clear auditing and understanding. You want to support multiple trust models. So this is the point I was just making in my previous slide, right? You know, there could be hierarchical, rigidly controlled models. There could be peer-to-peer, PK, you know, sort of PGP webs of trust that form. The same mechanisms can support different models, and it should, right? You shouldn't build the model into the mechanism. We want to minimize unnecessary communication. We're particularly interested in the disconnected operation problem. So it shouldn't be the case that some node that otherwise wouldn't need to talk to you has to just to ask you if it can talk to you. And finally, this may or may not be important for Genie, but it's important for some of the other places that we're using this this work, which is that you want to limit the revelation of information sometimes. I may not want to tell you that I have the magic cookie until I already know who you are, for example. And that leads you to the notion that it's a multi-step negotiation process, not just an authorization process. So since I'm going to run out of time, very briefly, we're doing this based on some work called attribute-based access control. It's not our work. There's a history of work from folks at Stanford, NAI, so on, that we're building on. The basic model is that you have principals who are rooted in the fact that you have an identity somewhere. Principals can have attributes, and folks can claim that you have them, right? Different people can say you have an attribute. That's a credential. And then there's a reasoning engine that thinks about the attributes. And depending on the rules of the reasoning engine, you can implement a wide variety of authorization questions. Okay, let me skip over the next slide, which is a little bit about expressivity of that, but and get to my last slide, which is this. What we have today is DETER is it runs as two clusters. Sometimes we run it as a federation. Sometimes we run it as a master-slave. Sometimes we split them completely so that they can do completely different things. Our federation stuff is running in DETER, and we occasionally use it with the Utah Emulab and Whale. It's the whole DFA is kind of wrapped up in a Unix daemon called FedD. The access control that it uses now, as I said, is not the right thing. 6 months from now, we expect to have, building on some of the work that Larry and Robin and we are talking about here, we expect to have all of that available for sort of slice-based Genie-type experiments. And we expect to have internally working some of this more interesting authorization mechanism. And then a year from now, we think we'll have a control system and so on. And the last thing, this is a map sort of where we are. We've got, this is Los Netos is a regional net. Scenic is the California regional. Two sites. And when I made that map, Internet 2 and NLR and so on weren't in the picture. But now that they are, we have some plans to hook into that as well. That's it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.